Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Now, in consideration of that proverb, let's turn together to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 first and look at this verse. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Think about our text as we're reading this. For the Jews who require a sign, you know how the religious were always looking for a sign. Show us. Moses gave us manna from heaven. What are you going to do for us? Of course, our Lord gently corrected them. He said, Moses didn't give you that bread. My Father gave you that bread, and I am that bread. I am the bread from heaven. Isn't it beautiful how the Lord reveals to us? We wouldn't know anything of these things from the Old Testament. We know that the Lord, it says Christ was that rock. Christ was that serpent lifted up in the wilderness. He said, I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. That manna was a picture to teach of me, to reveal and exalt me. The Lord is the lamb slain on the Day of Atonement, the sacrifice. He's the high priest. He's everything in the Old Testament pertaining to the worship and knowledge of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. But the Jews require a sign. The Greeks, they were philosophers. They seek after wisdom. You remember, philosophy literally means the love of wisdom. They're seeking after wisdom. But notice that in that context, he says, we preach Christ crucified. He is not what either one of them are looking for. Unto the Jews, he's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. It doesn't make any sense to them. All of their truth was gained by human logic. And it wasn't logical to them that somebody dying could give life to millions. It wasn't logical to them that a carpenter from Nazareth could be God's holy, only begotten, well-beloved Son. That he could be literally the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It didn't make sense to them. But we preach him nonetheless, because unto them which are called, those who God did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And them he did predestinate, them he also called. And to those whom God knew from the foundation of the world in love and electing choice, to them, whether they're Jew or Greek, it doesn't matter which group they come from, Christ is the power of God. He's the miracle we've been looking for. You see, the Jews require a sign. Christ is that sign. He's the sign of Jonah. He is the mystery revealed. He is the miracle, God with us. And to those whom God foreknew and loved in eternity and called by his grace, he is the wisdom of God. You see, our truth is not arrived at by human logic. It's arrived at by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And seeing in him everything worth knowing. So now we've been exhorted in the Proverbs before to get wisdom. And that's what this is talking about. Getting knowledge. Getting, seeking, and getting knowledge. But the uniqueness of this proverb is in the three pairs of words. The three pairs of corresponding words that you might not even notice. Had we not seen before from the Lord how important these particulars are in these Proverbs. The first corresponding pair of words is heart and ear. You see how they correspond here? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. There's corresponding pairs of words. And the first one we'll look at is heart and ear. Look carefully with me at this verse in 1 Corinthians. I should have had you stay there in 1 Corinthians 1. Look at verse 21 of that chapter. 1 Corinthians 1, 21. If you're already there, look carefully with me at this verse. For after that in the wisdom of God, all of this is according to God's wisdom. It's not unfortunate, you know. And, you know, it doesn't surprise God that people have no idea who He is. He knows what we're made of. He remembereth that we're dust. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by its wisdom, knew not God. We can't. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But that being the case, it pleased God to give wisdom to some, to His chosen, to His loved ones anyway. In spite of the fact that we can't get it on our own. It's impossible with men, but that didn't stop God. It pleased Him to save them. Notice the correspondence of wisdom and salvation in this verse. The wisdom, we didn't know God. The knowledge of God is what? Salvation. To save them. To give them a knowledge of God. To give them wisdom to know who God is and what He did and why and where He is now, where Christ is. It pleased God to do that this way, by the foolishness of preaching. That's foolish to the Greeks. It's foolish. And by the way, the Jews and the Greeks, there's not different kinds of sinners. These two, in the emphasis that they put on certain things, represent all of us as we are. Both of them do. We're all by nature religious to the core. I guarantee you, you have a religion. You may call it atheism, but it's another religion is all it is. And like the scripture says, man would be wise, but he's like a donkey. I'm obviously paraphrasing that, but the scripture says, man, though he would be wise, he's born into this world like a wild animal. He presents himself as wise. He pretends to be wise. He thinks himself to be wise, but he's a fool. We're fools. But notice in this verse, our text, heart and ear. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save. Preaching, what's preaching? It's something you hear. Preaching falls upon the ear. But by that means, God saves sinners. And that's something that happens to the heart. You see the correspondence? The ear and the heart. Preaching that you hear, you can hear it with these ears and not hear it. We know that. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. He's not saying all lost people are deaf. He's saying they can't hear the truth. They can't hear the spiritual reality of the gospel because they have no spiritual life. And then salvation, the work of God on the heart, that's how wisdom and knowledge are attained. Hearing, and then God doing something to the heart. That's why our Lord said what He did to Martha. And I want us to look at this. Look at Luke chapter 10. Please. Luke chapter 10. verse 38. Again, let's see our text in the light of this. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Christ, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now that's important that that's the baseline of this whole passage right here. Look, get the picture. There's Christ in their home, two sisters. Martha is scrambling to fix a meal for the Lord. That's commendable. Mary is sitting at his feet, hearing his word. And listen to what the Lord says to Martha. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. We need the Lord to come to us and call us by name, don't we? Spiritually. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Christ is the one thing needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Where's Mary? She's sitting at the feet of the Savior, hearing him, hearing his word. But notice she hath chosen that good part, which is hearing the word of the Lord. Now we've seen this in the word of God how many places? As we study verse by verse through the scriptures. And we're going to keep seeing it in the word of God as we go through it verse by verse. If God's pleased to show us. What you need and what I need is not reform. It's not just information or it's not religious warm and fuzzies. What we need is a new heart. We need a new heart. And the way God gives new hearts is through the hearing of his gospel, the gospel of his son. That's how it happens. Now, if you have a new heart, all you want is to know him more. That I may know thee. In the power of your resurrection, that I may know thee. And think about that now. Do we live, think about our mindset toward the worship that takes place in the preaching of the gospel. Do we really live with the conscious reality that what happens here is life? It's life. If God's going to give life to a dead sinner, he's going to do it by the preaching of the gospel. Do we live that way? Do we think of, when we think of our loved ones that don't know him? When we think of our own soul and all of our needs as sinners, do we think of it that way? That he's our manna, he's our bread from heaven, he's our sustenance, he's all that we need. And that God fulfills that need that way by these means. What a blessing. What a gracious, gracious blessing. The second corresponding pair of words in this proverb is prudent and wise. Prudent and wise. These two go together. Now we've seen that wisdom is hearing and knowing Christ. The Lord giveth wisdom, and Christ is the wisdom of God. The seed of the word that we hear is compared to a seed that's sown on ground, as seeds are. The seed of the word in the parable that our Lord told of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, the only instance in which that seed grew and was strong and lived was when it fell on good ground. There are four different types of ground mentioned in that parable. There was the wayside ground, stony ground, the thorny ground, and then there was good ground. And this parable could only be understood in light of all of Scripture. And we know from the Scripture that there is no difference in sinners. There's not different kinds of sinners. Romans 3, 22 and 23, there's no difference. So on the authority of the Word of God, the stony, thorny, wayside ground is the human natural heart. The dead in sins, black heart, and nature of man, apart from God's grace in Christ, that cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But listen to the language. Now turn over there with me, Acts 16. We may go a little long. We may a little bit, but maybe not. Acts 16:13. With that in mind now, wisdom and prudence. That word prudence means discernment. Discernment and understanding. Mary was able to discern, was she not? By the grace of God. She discerned that it was more important to hear what the Son of God had to say. She chose it by God's grace because good ground was given. But Acts 16:13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What does that word attended mean? I'll tell you what it means. She was baptized. She believed. You can only be baptized, according to Philip, if you believe with all your heart. Thou mayest. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. There is an attendance upon the Word of God that can only be true. It can only happen if God does something to the heart. The Lord opened her heart that, in such a way that she attended to the Word of the God and she, to the Word of God, and she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was baptized in His name. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And then that person, when God gives that heart, when He opens the heart and gives a new heart, there's several different ways that's described, what He does. Then that person does that which is wise and prudent. She attended to the word of the Lord. And she believed on it. She was baptized. Like Mary choosing that good part, just to discern and understand. That goes with wisdom that God gives. How did Mary choose that good part when Martha did not? At least at that time, she didn't. In that case, she didn't. How did the one thief discern what the other could not? And here's what the discernment is. Remember what he discerned? Who that was. Who that was. The things of the Lord, as we just read a moment ago, are received by spiritual discernment. How much of that were you born with? The third pair of words is seek and get. Isn't that a good pair? Seek and get. Jeremiah 29:10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you. There's the word again. In causing you to return to this place, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hear you. I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. He said, you're going to do what you're going to do because of my thoughts toward you, to give you that end. This is the expected end. You're going to call on me. You're going to seek me, and you're going to find. Where did that expected end come from? I gave it to you, he said. By his thoughts of grace toward his beloved, we have life. There is none by nature that seeketh after God, Psalm 53:2-3. But this seeking is a function of that new heart that God gives a sinner. So here's the exhortation of Scripture. Seek. Seek. There's a promise and an exhortation here. This is the promise of our Savior. Luke 11:9, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. That sounds like a promise, doesn't it? That sounds like a promise from God in the person of his Son. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So it's the promise of our Savior, and it's the earnest exhortation of the Scripture. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek. Seek him while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. Let's pray.